using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, the 12th of May, year of our Lord, 2021, day 424 of America Held Hostage. Well, today we're going to take a look at the fuel chaos, what is behind it, and I think you're going to find some interesting information about the pipeline company. Yes, they were already in a great deal of trouble. But even more importantly, as we see everybody focused on what is happening between the Israelis and the Palestinians, we're going to take a look at how the vaccines have killed far more people than the violence. We'll be right back. Yes, we have Rand Paul calling out Fauci on gain of function, but only in Wuhan, of course. We can't pay any attention to the reckless endangerment, the inexcusable moral and ethical experiments behind gain of function. We can't pay attention to that going on everywhere under Fauci, even with congressional suspension. He and Francis Collins of the NIH ignore that, so we'll talk about that coming up. We'll talk about how pathetic things have become for the conservative partisan media. You want to see the depths that people can sink to defend parties and politicians? Just take a look at the pathetic caricature that Sean Hannity has become. Virtue signaling with Bruce Jenner for governor. What a joke. And he got very upset about the fact that people were laughing at him for that absurd display. Embracing the values of Sodom and Gomorrah. Shame on you, Sean Hannity. We'll talk about that as well. And unbelievable incentives to get the vaccine. Let's begin with that today. We've got L.L. Bean and the Portland Sea Dogs. This is some kind of sports team, I guess. But I don't even... Baseball, okay. I could care less. Couldn't care less about sports. The Portland Sea Dogs, a baseball team in Maine, they are putting out big incentives. And listen to this. This is a public-private initiative. Whenever you see that, whenever you see the terms stakeholders, you better understand what is involved here. This is a partnership of fascism. That's what the definition of economic fascism is. It's a merger of corporations and states. And so this fascist initiative is called Your Shot to Get Outdoors. Do I need to get a shot to get outdoors in a sparsely populated state like Maine? Well, evidently, because we have a long list of a bunch of things that Health and Human Services will offer people. If you're 18 years and older, you can, after you've gotten your first shot of the genetic code injections, or the single shot of the Johnson & Johnson you can line up to qualify. Now, I don't know if this is a lottery or just the first people who get it, but you can get up to 5,000 fishing licenses. Now, what an incentive that is, right? HHS in the state of Maine is paying for up to 5,000 fishing licenses, up to 5,000 hunting licenses, up to 5,000 wildlife park passes, up to 5,000 state park day passes, a day pass. Yeah, you'll be feeling the effects of this vaccine the rest of your life. But hey, you can have a day in the park, assuming that you don't collapse on the floor, as we see some of these people. L.L. Bean is kicking in $10,000 $20 gift cards. Well, actually, they're not contributing it. HHS is buying it from them. So, you know, $200,000 there. And the Sea Dogs, for this baseball game, 5,000 tickets for that. And if you like the races, you can go to a speedway there. They have 5,000 tickets for that, for some of the weekly events that are happening there. As I said, the governor there, Mills, Mills is the governor there in Massachusetts, said the Maine Outdoors is a place like no other, offering endless opportunities to have a good time and to stay healthy. So we're encouraging Maine people to get their vaccine. How is this related? So you can get outdoors and experience all that our state has to offer. I don't need a vaccine to get outdoors. But, you know, if you need a ride, you can get a free Uber and Lyft ride to the vaccination sites for the next couple of weeks. Actually, they're going to some of these, as the White House explained, this will run until July 4th. And at that point, you're on your own, I guess, on Independence Day. You're not going to get the free rides to that's not much of an incentive to me, quite frankly. I can count on one hand the number of Uber rides that I've had, and I have not been too impressed with any of them. But here's the focus that we should look at. As everybody is talking about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and right now I think the death toll is 43 Palestinians and 3 Israelis. That is so minuscule compared to what they did to people with the vaccines and just the first January to February information. This is a committee called the Israeli People's Committee Report. And what they did was, since they don't have a vaccine reporting system like we have in Europe and in America in the VAERS system, and remember, a lot of these things are not reported. They do have a reporting system in Israel, but they're hiding it from the public. The people who are doing that here in America are Twitter. I've had 2 consecutive days as I put up reports about what is happening with vaccines. I've had Twitter blocking my tweets about that and labeling them as misinformation, removing all the comments, removing people's ability to retweet it. And this is what the Israeli government is doing. And, of course, it's what the American government is doing, too. They just use the social media to do that here. And we have Chelsea Clinton, as she goes to the Vatican this week. You know, Chelsea Clinton and all of these people who are health experts like Chelsea Clinton talking about how they can help us to get a vaccine, because that's the only thing they're concerned about. That's the only health concern these people have. Have you had your vaccine yet? When are you going to get your vaccine? We've got to talk you into getting your vaccine. You can't be hesitant about getting this vaccine. Do you start to see a pattern of obsessive behavior here? You talk about mental illness. If you can't understand how obsessive these people are about vaccines, if you can't understand why they're kicking all the rest of this stuff to the curb, you have no chance of surviving this. And so in the U.S. and the EU, we see some of these reported. Our Health and Human Services has told us that it's only about 1% of the people who report issues. I imagine it's probably a little bit higher than that if somebody dies. But as these people in Israel are pointing out, not only are they not showing the information that's in their system, but the clinics and the hospitals that are doing this, they're in on the plan too, folks. Understand, they've been highly incentivized with this. And then I don't know what it is in Israel, but in America, most of the hospitals are not private. Most of them are owned by the government, owned by the local county governments or state government at some point. And so they're playing along with this. They've been highly incentivized to kick anybody out that doesn't have COVID from the very beginning, highly incentivized to diagnose with a clinical diagnosis, not even with a nasal swab, to diagnose people. Even without the PCR test, to just clinically say, yeah, they got COVID. I can just see it. I sense this. Evidently, the AMA has been training doctors for quite some time to be able to sniff this out like dogs. You know, we've heard that dogs can sniff certain diseases like cancer. Well, you know, these doctors are really smart, and they can sniff COVID from a mile away. You know what they're sniffing? They're sniffing the $13,000 Trump offered them to diagnose people with COVID. They're sensing the 20 to 25% bonus surcharge they can put on all their medical. That's what they're sensing. That's what they're sniffing. And so, what are they doing in Israel? Well, everything has been censored. And of course, as I pointed out many times, Netanyahu, Bibi, little Bibi, did a two-year deal with the devil, Pfizer. He signed a pact with him saying, you know, oh, you guys are the first ones out. Well, put us at the front of the line, and we'll give you data for 2 years on our people. But they won't give that data to the public. Isn't that interesting? They just use the public as lab rats, but they won't give them the data. And so as we see the types of things that in the past would have been a dead stop on a clinical study. Remember when they started doing this abbreviated clinical study that Trump said, yeah, wait, 2 months? You don't even need 2 months. Just say that it's, just declare you can use it, or I'm going to fire you. Remember that? Well, you know, when we had some pauses in this, because in other countries, not in the U.S. where they're in on it, but in other countries, when somebody would drop dead after a vaccine, they would say, well, wait a minute, let's take a look at that. And then they would come up with an explanation as to why this was just a coincidence. And then they would continue with it. That happened several times. But now we don't even, doesn't even make the news. We don't even care. We have toddlers dropping over dead right after being given a vaccine. No. We're doing our due diligence here. We run a clinical study. We get some parents who sacrifice their kids on the altar of herd immunity. And if they drop dead, we don't care. Just keep going. Not an event. Why are you even bothering? Well, that's right. They're not really bothering, are they? So what these people in Israel did, they said, this is a brief summary of the full report released due to the urgency of the contents. They said their full report is coming. But they said, we want to get this information out as soon as possible. And they said that they are an independent organization. They rely on publicly available information from official publications and from social networks. The information has been checked by members of the committee to avoid false, refuted, and erroneous data. They're forced to do this because the government is hiding this information from them. And I've just got to say, this whole thing about the vaccine, this whole thing about punishing people for treating it in the early stages, withholding it from us, all of this is absolutely the most transparently cynical and sinister agenda I have ever seen in my life. Ever seen in my life. And this is part of my absolute hatred of Donald Trump, because he was seminal in this. He laid the foundation for this. Yes, Biden is continuing and building upon it, but he laid the foundation. As a matter of fact, you got people like Ben Shapiro saying, what has Biden done? Biden hasn't done. He was given a wonderful vaccine by President Trump. President Trump had a program to deliver, you know, by the military. That doesn't raise any flags to you, does it? And we had an economy that was set to reboom. Why? Well, going to rebound from what? From a forced Great Depression by Trump and Fauci. Oh, but now it's okay for these guys to criticize Fauci. They're not going to do anything else about it. But, you know, they'll give him tongue lashings and they'll hold dog and pony shows like Rand Paul does and criticize him on peripheral issues, not the essence of what is happening here. They said, and what has Biden done? Well, he's increased vaccine hesitancy. And he said, and we had peace in the Middle East. And now look at this. Now we've got a war. Well, that's not Biden's fault. I mean, I don't like Biden. He's got enough things that are a problem of his without without overreaching. But that's Ben Shapiro's take on that. And he had, I don't know, it was something like 4,000 comments that were allowed. You can't comment when I tell you this kind of information. I'll put this video up, and we'll see them shut it down again. I'm gonna put this video up. I'm going to say, the vaccines have killed more Israelis and Palestinians than the violence there. And you watch today. Twitter's going to shut that down. I'm just waiting for them to kick me off, and I frankly don't care. It doesn't matter anymore because I've been shadow banned for so long on Twitter. We have people constantly say, you know, I haven't seen any of your stuff for months, and I don't ever get any notifications. So I look, and you know, they've even unsubscribed me from you. I never unsubscribed from you. So, frankly, I don't care. I'll continue to put this stuff up. I'll continue to post things there. But there's absolutely no value to Twitter for me in terms of promoting things because of the censorship that's there. But get back to this. What is happening? This group, this is their report, the brief summary of their full report, which is coming. They said the Prime Minister of Israel and senior officials of the Israeli Ministry of Health brag that Israel serves as the global model for nationwide vaccination. While they boast that Pfizer has chosen us to be the experimental country, thanks to the advanced technological systems of our HMOs, the state has systematically shut down all monitoring and tracking systems designed to identify and alert about adverse events that occur. So they've signed us up as lab rats, and then they shut down the reporting system. That's what Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli government did for their people, of course. Let me ask you. When they treat their people like that, they treat their own people like that. How they treat other people. But every government has killed more of its own people than it has of people that it goes to war with. That's not just the Israeli government. The irresponsible conduct by the Ministry of Health in Israel during this mass operation, providing an experimental treatment to millions of people, regardless of whether such conduct is negligent or intentional, right? That's the thing. You look back, the only question about Trump is, was the disaster called Donald Trump, was it negligence or was it intentional? I would say it was intentional. Has led to an unprecedented flood of thousands of serious adverse event reports after the vaccine on social media, which seems to be the only forum that still allows people to share their experiences. Not for long. Chelsea Clinton is having a hissy fit about that at the Vatican. Think about that. The Vatican and Clinton, Chelsea Clinton, are telling us that we've got to shut down. They've got to shut down really quickly. They've got to get hard on this. Got to shut down people talking about what they're doing to us. Transparently sinister and cynical. So they've created a situation whereby the Israeli public is almost completely unaware of the existence, the nature, and the prevalence of the vaccine's adverse events. The smokescreen, which exists between the Israeli public and this vaccine's adverse events, prevents citizens from receiving all the information they need to make a balanced and responsible decision about the vaccine. The healthcare system's failure to monitor the vaccine's adverse events and issue alerts, coupled with the media's transgression of its role as an important mechanism for monitoring and criticizing the establishment's conduct, and as a pivotal platform for exposing the hard truth. Now, these people nailed it. The media no longer looks skeptically at what is going on. We have essentially the media, even the alternative press, even Breitbart, even InfoWars, are so highly partisan. They don't criticize their own people. They only criticize the other people. And vice versa. You know, the conservatives have become the mirror image of CNN and Fox News. You know, alternative, so-called alternative media, has now been subsumed into this partisan idolatry that puts your interests last because it's in their interest to hook themselves up to a major political party for money and for audience. So they go on to say, the inconceivable gap between the existing reality and the information published by the Israeli Ministry of Health and the Israeli media raises concerns of a dangerous deception, not only of Israeli citizens, but of citizens of the entire world. So we can only come to a true conclusion if the comprehensive data is revealed in real time, and if the press, which is supposed to be free and a watchdog of democracy, will remain on guard. Well, neither of those conditions are going to happen. So what did they do? Well, they went through the data. They went through things since they couldn't get information directly about the vaccine deaths. They went to the Central Bureau of Statistics. In a sense, the obsession that these people have about record keeping. I remember when it was Howard K. Smith who was talking about his time in Nazi Germany, the Nuremberg trials, covering them. And he said, you know, the interesting thing about this was that the Germans were so methodical about recording everything, so obsessive about that. They basically laid the whole script out there of what they had done in the Nuremberg trials. And what we're talking about now is something that is exactly like that. We brought these people over under Operation Paperclip. If they were good enough at conducting human experiments without any regard for ethics or morality, if the end justifies the means, see, that's when America went south. We embraced the end justifies the means with Operation Paperclip. We made a big show trial of Nuremberg. Those are the people that didn't really have anything that they could use. The people that had the stuff that they could use, people like Wernher von Braun and many others, oh, they were given the royal treatment, even though von Braun had run Peenemünde, even though he had run a slave labor camp, even though they had ground people into the dust, murdering them. He was given the royal treatment, and many others like him. It was the foundation for Fort Detrick, for the biowarfare system, which now, you know, we have this little back and forth with Rand Paul and Fauci about, did you give some money to Wuhan to do this stuff? I mean, you talk about straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Unbelievable. Anyway, back to this. So what they did was they looked at January to February. They looked at the Central Bureau of Statistics, and they said, overall, we could see that there was a 22% increase in overall mortality in Israel compared to the bi-monthly average in mortality for the previous year. What was the previous year? Oh, that was the year that we had the pandemic, that was the worst the world has ever seen, that we locked down everything. Well, compared to that, it was up 22% when they started vaccinating people over the pandemic. The pandemic, 22% higher than the vaccine in terms of overall deaths. In fact, they said the period of January to February 2021, which is they were early, they started their vaccination, that period, January to February, is the deadliest two-month period in the last decade. And that especially includes the so-called pandemic year. The highest overall mortality rates when compared to corresponding months over the last 10 years. Among the age groups of 20 to 29, the increase in overall mortality rate is even more dramatic. In this group, it was a 32% increase. Why? Because they weren't dying in the young age groups from whatever the virus was that was going around. They started dying from the vaccine. Now, they do a statistical analysis, and they break it down by age groups. They look at the 20 to 49s, the 50 to the 69s, and the 70s plus. And what they found was, they said a statistical analysis of data from the Bureau of Statistics about the overall mortalities, combined with the information that we're able to get from the Ministry of Health, and again, the Ministry of Health in Israel is hiding a lot of information, leads to the conclusion that the mortality rate among vaccinated people is estimated to be, for the 20 to 49, 1 in every 13,000 people. That's pretty high. But when you go to the age group of 50 to 69, it increases by a factor of 2. It's 1 in every 6,000 people. These are deaths. Deaths. Not permanent disability, but deaths. And then when you go from the 50 to 69 age group, you go to those that are 70 plus, it goes up by a factor of nearly 4, 3.75. And it's one person in every 1,600 dying from the vaccine, in their opinion. Looking at the data that they could get from the little bit of data they could get from the Ministry of Health, from the Bureau of Statistics, they said there is a high correlation between the number of people vaccinated per day and the number of deaths per day. See? Even though they're hiding this information, there's a lot of ways that you can get the information about these Nazis, these Nuremberg Nazis. because they are obsessive about keeping information. So, high correlation between the number of people who died per day and the number of deaths per day, people who were vaccinated per day and the number of deaths per day, and the range of up to 10 days post-vaccination in all age groups. And so here's how they broke it down for these three different age groups again. For the age groups of 20 to 49, so looking at people who died within 10 days, they found that for the ages of 20 to 49, there was a range of on average of about 9 days from the date of vaccination to death. For the people who were aged 50 to 69, 5 days from the date of vaccination to death. For ages 70 and up, 3 days from vaccination to death. The risk of death after the second vaccination is even higher than the risk of death after the first vaccination. These are all, by the way, Pfizer, I believe, because it was Pfizer that Netanyahu made the deal with, the Faucian bargain. A total of 2,066 reports of adverse events have been recorded by the Israeli People's Committee, and the figures continue to flow in. These reports indicate damage to almost every system of the human body. In other words, these people who put this is a bipartisan, multipartisan, they don't have two parties. They got a multi-party system. Most countries in the world have a multi-party system except for America. But these are people from all across the political spectrum that are just concerned about this vaccine, and so they're inviting people to give the information to them since the government doesn't want to give it to the people. So it reports damage, indicates damage to almost every system in the human body. We have found a relatively high rate of cardiac-related injuries. 26% from all cardiac events occurred in young people below the age of 40. Particularly, most common, myocarditis or pericarditis. Additionally, a high prevalence of massive vaginal bleeding, neurological, skeletal, and skin damage have been observed. It should be noted that a significant number of adverse events reported are related directly or indirectly to coagulopathy, myocardial infarction, that's be a heart attack, stroke, miscarriages, disruption of blood flows to the limbs, pulmonary embolism. In other words, a lot of these are directly related to blood clot issues. The reporting of adverse events from hospitals and HMO clinics has been very low. There is a tendency for a diagnostic bias that excludes the possibility of a link between an adverse event and the vaccination. And so they said there's probably many thousands of unreported cases. In light of the extent and the severity of adverse events that we're witnessing, we would like to express the committee's position, again, Israeli committee, that vaccinating children may lead to adverse events as observed in adults, which could lead to the result that you have completely healthy children dying. Since the coronavirus does not endanger children at all, the committee believes that the Israeli government's intention to vaccinate children endangers their lives, their health, and their future development, and we are willing to sacrifice our children to this idol of herd immunity. We are so fixated on some arbitrary percentage of people being vaccinated that's been drilled into us by the press, by Fauci, by the CDC, by Trump, by Biden. We're so fixated on that particular number that we will sacrifice our children who have no risk from this virus whatsoever. They haven't even been able to make a case. They have zero risk. And we're going to vaccinate them so we can achieve a number? You talk about ignorance. You talk about superstition. There is nothing scientific about this except the population control. 2 days prior to the publication of this report in Hebrew, we sadly learned of the death of a 2-year-old girl in proximity to receiving the coronavirus vaccine, according to reports in the U.S. VAERS system, Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. We hope that the radical idea of vaccinating children against a virus for which they have no risk will be taken off the table. And if not, that it will be completely rejected by parents. Never has a vaccine injured so many. The American VAERS system reveals 2,200 reports. This is way past that, folks. As I pointed out yesterday, we've blown past 4,000 events, and it's accelerating. 4,000 deaths. As I pointed out and Twitter censored, 46% of all vaccine deaths reported into the VAERS system over the last 31 years, nearly half of all the reports in the last 31 years happened in the last 4 months with these three vaccines. Twitter says that's not true. And I said, if they're going to play Pravda, then here's the samizdat. You can go directly to the CDC's own website and look it up yourself. Don't believe me. Don't believe Jack Dorsey. Don't believe these people who will lie to you for whatever their payoff is. Go look it up. You don't even have, I mean, just, it's a lot worse than what's in the VAERS system. And I don't know what it is. I mean, these people have gone around it. They've reached out to people. Tell us your events. They started collecting it themselves. Crowdsourced funding of it. They have looked at other statistics from the Israeli government to put this picture together. And the little bit that they could get released from these people who are trying to keep everything hidden from you. I'm telling you, it's a lot worse. But it's the worst we've ever seen. What they're even reporting. 46% of all the deaths reported in the last 31 years happened in the last 4 months. And when you look at permanent disability, 18%. And that typically takes a while to show up. But that is more than 2-to-1 over the flu, which has been an annual thing. And that's what this is targeted for. Annual vaccines of these genetic code injections, the GCIs. Never has a vaccine injured so many, they say. So this reflects a rise of thousands of percent from the annual average that has been reported before. Again, this is coming from the Israeli People's Committee, an independent apolitical group of Israeli citizens. They said, the glue that binds us together is our deep concern with respect to the safety of the Israeli people. So I ask you, what is the glue that binds our political leaders together from all parties? From Trump to Biden, from the GOP to Comrade Bernie. What is the glue that binds these people together? In every country, it doesn't matter whether the country is being run by hardcore Marxists or whether it's being run by, you know, rock-ribbed conservatives. They're all bowing to this agenda. They're all saying nothing can save you but the vaccine. Stay in place for the next year, whoever knows how long, until we get the vaccine out. Yeah, what is the glue that binds them together? Well, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I think we know what binds them together. I was telling Karen this morning. I said, you go back and you look at this. I look at what they're doing to their own people in Israel. I said, I think the Davos conference of 2019 that Trump went to, that he strutted around talking about nationalism and so forth. And, oh, look at this. That was just for show, folks. That 2019 Davos conference was the WANSI conference. Look it up. For the 21st century. Global. Is India seeing a wave of deaths? Travis, get up this this graph that I sent you. Is India seeing a wave of deaths and injuries following the COVID-19 shot? They have in a graph here, and we'll get this up in a second. I'll show this to you. Or you can just pull up the article if you want to do it that way. A New Jersey doctor, Dr. Kapila, reportedly died to a trip in India, even though he was fully vaccinated with both doses of Pfizer vaccine before he traveled to India. So we're hearing all of these viral accounts and media of dead bodies piling up in morgues, of people dropping dead in the streets, of despondent souls jumping off of their balconies, of funeral pyres all over the country. This is coming from vaccineimpact.com. Amidst the toxic miasma of fear-mongering, coherent explanations over this surge are hard to come by. One should compare the yearly death tolls before and after the advent of COVID-19 in India, particularly for the year 2021. Essential medical procedures are being deferred, as they are now focusing on COVID-19. Same thing we've seen. Rising socioeconomic despair will lead to a surge in suicides. And not all coronavirus deaths can be directly attributed to the virus, no matter how these experts add them up. But the key issue here is that if you look at what was happening in the country last year, India was rather late in joining the mass vaccination bandwagon. And they really had not been. That's the graph. Thank you. Now, hold this graph up here, and I'm going to talk about it. They had been late in terms of getting into the vaccines. But they were pretty early in terms of using hydroxychloroquine. Remember when all of the stuff came out about hydroxychloroquine and Trump was essentially inoculating us against it, making it look ridiculous. Making it look ridiculous. Fauci, oh, I don't know. Yeah, this guy, he just doesn't know anything, right? Yeah, and he doesn't put any experts up there to really tell you the truth about it. Instead, he just talks off the cuff. Like Lou Costello. Anyway, when everybody was talking about hydroxychloroquine, you know the place that had the most of it was India. They manufacture quite a bit of it because it's always been used for a very long time to treat malaria and other things like that. So they had a tremendous amount of it. So, you know, Trump administration said, oh, we got to get some of this hydroxychloroquine. So they, and there was a big brouhaha, remember that? India said, no, we're not giving that up. We're keeping that for our people. But they got a massive quantity of it. And then they put it in stockpile instead of letting it go out to people. They threatened pharmacists. They threatened doctors. Don't fill these prescriptions. Don't write the prescriptions or we'll end your career. And as they wrested some of this HCQ from India, they locked it up in a stockpile and threatened the doctors and pharmacists here in America. And so, look, oh, yeah, Trump's doing a good job where he's getting that hydroxychloroquine. No, he didn't. But they did have it there. And so it did get that bad. And they point out that, you know, even when you have a situation that's a third world country, and this is what I pointed out before, take a look at India. Take a look at Africa. Isn't it interesting that even though there's an alleged mutant variant in South Africa, that they're not really leading in all of these issues. Typically, these things happen in the third world where they don't have a lot of infrastructure, a lot of health infrastructure. It hits them first. It hits them hardest. And this didn't happen. Why? Because they had hydroxychloroquine. Pull that chart up again, Travis. Now, they had hydroxychloroquine. And if you look at this chart, you can see that it was low. And then it started to gradually rise in August of last year, and they introduced ivermectin. And boom, it went straight down. Then, when it's down at a trough, and nothing is really happening, they roll out the COVID vaccine. And look at the right side of that chart. Shortly after they roll out the COVID vaccine, it goes through the roof. I mean, this is far worse than any chart you've ever seen about climate change. From Al Gore. Straight to the moon. And so they went with HCQ and it worked. It went with ivermectin and it worked even better than HCQ. The results were very encouraging. The end of 2020, one area called Uttar Pradesh distributed free ivermectin for home care. It had the second lowest fatality rate in India, at 0.26 per 100,000 residents in December. Only in the state of Bihar, with 128 million residents, was it lower. And it, too, recommended ivermectin. But despite having the coronavirus situation under control, the New Delhi government was under immense pressure from international lobbyists and their local proxies to roll out a mass vaccination campaign. As the goal of vaccinating 300 million people by August of 2021 reached the midway mark, however, the number of COVID-19 cases surged accordingly. And you can see that in the chart. Through the roof. Not only has India's COVID-19 cases surged in tandem with the increased vaccination, the trajectory of infections and inoculations can be neatly superimposed if you look at the graphs. This is not the first time that gene-based therapies ended up creating a new viral chimera. The WHO recently admitted The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation-backed vaccine program was responsible for a new polio outbreak in Africa. The usual suspects were also behind a vaccination-linked polio surge in Pakistan and Afghanistan. And this is why, folks, you see the pictures of them chasing the people trying to give them vaccines, chasing them out of the neighborhoods. And we saw pictures of that in India as well. Crowds chasing these people who had come to vaccinate them. They're not as stupid as Americans. They look at what's going on around them as opposed to watching TV news from CNN and Fox. They point out vaccines causing deadly outbreaks, so the very disease they're supposed to eradicate happens to be a 21st century phenomenon. Brought to you by the Alliance of Big Tech and Big Pharma. Dr. Harvey Risch, a professor of epidemiology at Yale, has estimated over 60% of new COVID-19 cases seem to occur among the vaccinated. And, of course, Dr. Michael Yaden, the former vice president, chief science officer for Pfizer, fears a more alarming outcome, which includes the possibility of massive-scale depopulation. These are not your average basement-dwelling conspiratorial kooks. Hey, look, I don't even have a basement. Gene-based vaccines open up a Pandora's box of what systems theorists call emergence. Mutant strains may emerge alongside unforeseen side effects, and this is what we're witnessing worldwide. Again, you see the massive, it gradually ramps up. So they introduced ivermectin, and then it crashed down to essentially zero until they introduced the vaccines. And then about a month after that, it goes straight up. I mean, straight up, exponentially up. They said, take a look, and I'll just show this to you. Or you can pull it up, Travis. You've got the article there. Look at the chart for Mongolia. Look at this. I pull this up, or it's kind of blown out. Can you pull that up in that article? If you look at Mongolia, they were at zero deaths per million. Zero deaths per million. Throughout the entire year of 2020, zero deaths per million. Until they launched the vaccine. And then it went straight through the ceiling. If you can get that pulled up, we'll show that. And I'll pull back to it. CEOs of Google, Microsoft, Apple, among others, have pledged heartfelt aid to India. With friends like this, you have to wonder why Indians can't question the global COVID-19 narrative on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube without being summarily banned or censored, right? I mean, Google, Microsoft, Apple, Twitter, they want to help, right? Oh, and why are they censoring information? Why are they censoring people being critical of any of this narrative? Indians should also question why Africa has not been badly affected thus far. I've been talking about that. I said, think about, here's two very obvious data points. Look at the way that they've always downplayed these emergencies. They say, these pandemics. Even when Ebola came, Ebola. Case fatality rate, 45 to 80%, depending on who you talk to. And then when you have Ebola come to town, 45 to 80% fatality rate versus this, even if it was what they were saying, it was going, 2 to 3%. No, no, no. It was an order of magnitude. It was one-tenth of that. And yet, when Ebola came to town, they were telling everybody, don't worry, we've got all of this covered. Do you have the article, Travis? Do you have the article? Here's the article. Is India seeing a wave of deaths and injuries following COVID-19 shots? Please pull that up. So, Africa. South African variant, hovering in the region. This is a continent mired in conflicts, poverty, serious health care deficits, other third world-related woes. It lacks world-class scientists and institutions, which India has. Is it because Africa does not pose an economic threat to Western oligarchy the way that Asia does? Or maybe the mass vaccinations haven't taken off yet in Africa? Actually, I had somebody contact me, said, please don't say which country I'm in, but it was in, I'll just say generally, Africa. And he said, you know, we haven't seen any of this happening. We had all the Europeans go home because they got afraid, and they went home, and we're just living life as normal here. And they're not seeing everybody dropping dead because they haven't had their vaccines rolled out yet. You know, all this talk about, hey, we don't have enough vaccines for the third world. What is saving them is the greed of the big pharmaceutical companies and people like Bill Gates. They say, well, we don't want these vaccines to go to them until somebody pays for it. Who's going to pay for this? And so you've got the people on the left who are true believers in all this stuff saying, well, we need to get rid of the intellectual property rights, the IP stuff. We need to remove that so that we can just let these people manufacture it. So we want you to have an open vaccine. Tell them how you make the vaccine, and then we will get this vaccine to them. And that is what's saving the people in Africa. All right, so scroll down there, and you'll see that graph. You scroll down on that article. Ultimately, the game is much bigger than COVID-19. It is about global domination through perennial mass manufactured crises until the Great Reset is achieved. Keep going down. Keep going down. There it is. Scroll up on that one right there. That's what I want you to see. Mongolia, right there. Look at that. Zero cases per million until they roll out the vaccine, and it goes straight up. And you can see the same thing virtually happening with India and the chart right above it. Unbelievable. We'll be right back after a short break. Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com. Before I leave this, I want to talk about the gain of function back and forth with Rand Paul and about an excellent production that was done by Adele Bigtree on the High Wire. Adele's doing really, really good work with it. Three healthcare workers speaking out about their debilitating heart health problems, and this is heartbreaking, folks. He got on three women, all previously very pro-vaccine. They detailed their struggles with tremors, memory loss, full-body convulsions as soon as they got their coronavirus shots. They said the issues which they attribute to the vaccines have left them unable to work or to even care for themselves. And I'll just repeat, 18% of all permanent disabilities in the CDC's own database, the VAERS database, 18% of all of the permanent disabilities over the last 31 years from these vaccines in the last 4 months. They don't want to see people like us, they said. One of them said, I just had mild flu-like symptoms soon after taking a Moderna. She's an Indiana nursing home worker. She said she was very pressured by her employer to get the shot. She said, by the end of that day, my legs hurt so bad, my body hurt so bad, I couldn't stand it. The next day I woke up and my tongue was spazzing and it just went on from there. I was in full body convulsions and I stayed that way for 13 days. Videos of her condition went viral online before they were flagged and pulled down by social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook. They don't want you to see that. Their complicity in this cynical, sinister agenda has never been more transparent. Angelia DeSalle, I think is the way you pronounce her name. She managed a surgery center in Louisiana. She said that she received her COVID-19 shot in part because she wanted to avoid exposing her parents to the virus, although no coronavirus vaccine has proven to stop the viral transmission. By the way, you can find this stuff at, this is an article on LifeSite News, but you can also go to Dell Bigtree's The High Wire to see this. Within 2 hours, I started having a severe headache that I knew was on, one of the side effects, so I didn't think much about it. Thursday morning, I woke up and I felt really dizzy. I almost passed out. The following night, I got out of bed and I couldn't feel or use my legs. Then Saturday morning, I got up and I could not use either of my legs, and it eventually was followed by full body convulsions. About 2 hours later, my husband took me to the ER, and from there I was transported to the hospital. I have literally been shuffled from doctor to doctor, and here I am today still having the same issues. I had no idea what was going on, but then when the convulsions started, I knew it had to be the vaccine. I was normal. I was a normal 45-year-old healthy person. I didn't take any routine meds on a daily basis. I have never in a million years thought I would be like this today. There was one day where I had 16 back-to-back convulsions, said another, Christy Simmons, a clinical manager for a home health agency. She told the High Wire, I would feel like I couldn't breathe, like I couldn't catch my breath. Oh, get her on an invasive intubation, right? Kill her. She said she took the shot earlier in the year to promote the vaccine to her clinicians. 2 days later, I was in the ER with throat and mouth swelling. After returning from work the next week, she said her limbs reportedly pulled up into a fetal position, and she just started convulsing. And I was actually flown out by helicopter to a hospital for treatment. I was there, I think, 1 or 2 days. I can't really remember. I have a lot of memory loss during that time. I've had 6 ER visits. Now all 3 of us sit here today with no job and no income, said Skelton. Our medical bills are stacking up, and we still have no answers and no help. Well, you know, hey, medical bills stacking up. What we need to have more Obamacare, right? That Trump never got rid of, that the GOP never got rid of. Oh, we need to have more of that. And don't worry about the bills piling up because, you know, Trump and Biden have both taken care of that. They've got that universal basic income stimulus check that's on its way. It'll be right there. They're there to help you. Don't worry about that. Trump and Biden, they've got it covered. I mean, this is a bipartisan solution, folks. Yeah, the final solution. You know, we talk about this and the damage that's been done. Long-term damage with autism from these vaccines. And what it does is it takes down the entire family. And that's what these things are doing as well. We can't function. Probably about 2 months out of the last 3, I have been bathed by my family, fed by my family, dressed by my family, said Simmons. I would go to the bathroom, and my sister or husband would have to come in and lift me off the toilet. I haven't driven my car since January the 8th. I have my father with me as a caregiver. Her father is an elderly father. I can't travel alone. We can't function. I'm afraid to go out in public because of the convulsions. We weren't sit-at-home people before this, and now I stare at my 4 walls every day in my house. The women said they formed an organization that has, so far, 37 members, but they've already talked to well over 100 people who are suffering from the same apparent vaccine injuries. She said, I can't even imagine the casualties of this vaccine. What's going to happen to everybody 10 years down the road? See, vaccines don't usually do stuff like this immediately. That's not been the pattern of injuries. This is totally unprecedented. Usually the injuries take a very long time to appear. The best documented case of vaccine injuries we had before this was the Fauci-Slowey swine flu vaccine that was rushed out. And they were able to make the correlation there because it happened within a year. You had children starting to develop narcolepsy, catalepsy, and other things like that. But typically, it's very difficult to correlate these because they happen in a long-term thing. But now we're at the point where they don't care. And they're talking about vaccinating very young children, but even more concerning is the vaccination of pregnant women. If you have something that is messing with mRNA, one of the things that everybody complained about, you want to know why people were so upset about the Chinese doing a DNA modification of babies. The guy who did it said, well, it was to make sure they couldn't get AIDS or something like that. I figured out that I could splice a gene and they wouldn't get AIDS. And so we did this to the embryos or to the fetus or something like that. If you do that at that early stage, then any changes that you make, good or bad, will affect that baby for life. You know, a lot of times genetic modification is a temporary thing. When they can go in and make an adult monkey be able to see colors, that eventually will fade because their body has so many cells, and these cells already have a DNA imprint. And so as the cells die and they're replaced, it starts to replace that temporary effect. But if you do it at an embryonic stage, you get what they call a seed change, because you're doing it with just a few of them, and all of them have that characteristic. And that characteristic will persist through not only the life of that organism, but it will be passed down to the offspring. And so when we look at this mRNA vaccine and we look at pregnant women, these people, Rand Paul has not even touched the surface of the Nazi science that is involved in this. Two of them finally said they were not warned about the potential injuries before taking the COVID-19 vaccine. They said, if they were to say, if you get this vaccine and you have an adverse reaction, you're on your own, you're probably going to lose your job. Your medical bills are going to pile up. You're responsible for them, but there's no help for you. Then people would probably change their mind and not get the vaccine. So let me repeat that to you. If you get this experimental vaccine, what they're not telling you, but I'm telling you right now, is that if you're damaged from this, you're going to lose your job, your medical bills are going to pile up, you're going to be responsible for them, there's no help coming, and it may be life-altering, permanently life-altering, for you and everyone in your family. Let's take a look at Rand Paul. He did some tongue-lashing of Fauci, but I want you to see this little clip, and you can see how he avoided the seminal issue. The seminal issue.
Think about that for a moment. The SARS virus had a 15% mortality. We're fighting a pandemic that has about a 1% mortality. Can you imagine if a SARS virus that's been juiced up and had viral proteins added to it, to the spike protein, if that were released accidentally? Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of
Virology. Do they fund Dr. Barrick?
We do not fund...
Do you fund Dr. Barrick's gain-of-function research?
Dr. Barrick does not doing gain-of-function research, and if it is... It's according to the guidelines, and it is being conducted in North Carolina, not in China.
You don't think inserting a bat virus spike protein that he got from the Wuhan Institute into the SARS virus is gain of function?
That is not...
You would be in the minority because at least 200 scientists have signed a statement from the Cambridge Working Group saying that it is gain of function.
Well, it is not. And if you look at the grant and you look at the progress reports, it is not... gain of function, despite the fact that people tweet that.
So do you still support sending money to the Wuhan Virology Institute?
We do not send money now to the Wuhan Virology Institute.
Do you support sending money? We did, under your tutelage. We were sending it through EcoHealth. It was a sub-agency and a sub-grant. Do you support the money from NIH that was going to the Wuhan Institute?
Let me explain to you why that was done. The SARS-CoV-1 originated in bats in China. It would have been irresponsible of us if we did not investigate the bat viruses and the serology to see who might have been infected.
Or perhaps it would be irresponsible to send it to the China.
It'd be irresponsible if we did not investigate the history of this and look at it. Well, one person pointed out, the fact of the matter is the U.S. had months of clustered outbreaks of severe unexplained respiratory illness with atypical pneumonia, and it was never reverse RNA sequenced to look for any novel pathogens. Well, they didn't use it to investigate. No. This was done years earlier. And what Rand Paul failed to point out is the fact as Fauci squirmed, like the weasel he is, as he squirmed around the question, prevaricated around the bush, if you will, saying, "Well, we didn't fund the in the place there. Right? We didn't do it in the place. They funded it in North Carolina," as he points out. And we'll talk about his involvement with Wuhan here in a second. But just go to the North Carolina thing that he's talking about. That was done while Congress told them, don't do this. They put a moratorium on this. And Fauci and Francis Collins continued this coronavirus, bat, coronavirus, chimera research at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, when they released that information. They still had not lifted the moratorium. And there were a lot of people in the industry who said, how in the world are they able to do this? They were told to stop funding this. And it turned out that they had about 10 different gain-of-function research programs that they were continuing to fund, in spite of the fact that Congress had told them not to. They don't care. And this back and forth that you see happening here is just like what we saw about Russiagate. It's like what we saw about censorship. They will never do anything about it. This is just a dog and pony show to get attention to Rand Paul. Sorry, Rand, you're not doing a damn thing about this. You're avoiding the central issue of gain of function. You're avoiding the arrogance of the NIH, of Francis Collins and Fauci, to continue to fund this, even though they were told by Congress, because of the numerous accidents that they had, and people who were in the field said there's absolutely no reason to bring in deadly pathogens, make them more deadly and more easily spread. Nothing good can come of this. It is Nazi science. And of course, they're also out there looking for fresh, not frozen, organs taken from bodies of aborted babies. Doing that in conjunction with Planned Parenthood and the University of Pittsburgh. Paying big bucks for that stuff. These people need to be put in jail. We need to have our own Nuremberg trial of Fauci and these other people at the NIH. But some of the people pushed back on this. Cheryl Atkinson had a series of posts on Twitter. She said, well, you say that he says that he didn't fund this. Well, here's the published gain-of-function research study that the NIH funded with the Wuhan Institute of Virology's lead virologist, Shi Jingli. Sorry. One person says, well, grant proposals do not necessarily mean that the specific experiments are actually done. you need to cross-validate what experiments exactly were described in the published paper. You said, well, in this case, it's not a grant proposal even. It's the actual NIH funding disclosure in a published study that was finished on the continuing 2015 gain-of-function research with China. And again, 2015, they were told that was under moratorium, and they did it anyway. If you're interested, please read the material, and then you won't have to speculate, she said. Then Cheryl Atkinson said, what Fauci and et cetera have said, that's misleading, but may be technically correct. Yes, NIH paid for the gain of function with China, with Wuhan Institute of Virology, but they argue that the actual gain of function part was performed in the U.S., by the way, she doesn't even point out while they were told not to do it by the Congress. And so she shows the research that was done there. She said, relying on the technicality of claiming that no NIH research in the Wuhan Institute, there's no doubt that NIH and Fauci's Institute funded gain-of-function research with the Wuhan Institute's lead virologist. Look, when I interviewed David Martin, and he was part of Plandemic 2, excellent documentary. Remember, the first one went very big. Second one should have as well. Dr. Mikovits was in the first one. Second one really kind of featured David Martin. He was looking, he typically investigates intellectual property stuff, and he went after the money trail. And just from the money side, just from the financing side of what Fauci did, not even talking about the fact that they did this while they were ordered by Congress not to do it, but just looking at what was done and the way it was financed, David Martin said a legitimate investigation of this, in his mind, would no doubt have Fauci let off in handcuffs. But now it's okay. Now it's okay for Rand Paul to criticize him, because now he is not working for Trump, right? And now that he's criticized Trump, now we can criticize Fauci. But, you know, hey, GOP laid off of him all of last year, didn't they? Yes, exactly. Exactly. And when we're talking about censorship, Twitter censoring massively. And as I pointed out, you know, they've continued to do this to me all the time. You know, you've had too much to think, so don't pay any attention to what is happening here. This is what they're telling us constantly. So I said, as I point out, since they want to take down my information that I'm basically just passing on from the CDC's own system to report adverse effects, I said, just go directly to that. I posted that back up again. But as this is all rolling out, you have Chelsea Clinton, who is continuing the work of her medical expert mother, Hillary, who decided that she was going to completely rework our healthcare system. And, you know, the most insidious thing about it was not the money aspect of it. That's what Republicans get upset about. The most insidious thing about this is removing your informed consent when the government can tell you what you can and cannot have, when the government can ration healthcare, when the government tells you that you can't have a certain thing, they will take the authority, presume the authority, to tell you what you must have, what you must have. And that's where we are today. So Chelsea Clinton calls for a global crackdown on any anti-vaccine social media posts. She says, she personally very strongly believes that there has to be more intensive and intentional coordinated global regulation of speech on social media. There we go. We need a global overthrow of the First Amendment, says little Chelsea Clinton. unbelievable. The spawn of these people. You have No More News was completely had, Adam Green completely had his website taken down. And this is not by the ISP. It's not by Twitter. It's not by social media. It was by the website builder. And it's pretty amazing. Squarespace, just so that you know, don't use those people. If you're using those people, find something else to do your website in. But the people that you use to build your website can take it down. This is his own private website. So it's not enough just to censor the information on social media. They will come after your own individual websites. And I said this has been going to be happening for a long time. They will take domain names away from people. That's coming. I said that as soon as they moved ICON registration, which is domain name registration was ICON. As soon as the Obama administration moved it out of the U.S. To some private global organization, I said that's the ultimate censorship there. Just to purge complete websites. So Chelsea Clinton, at a Vatican-organized conference to promote, wait for it, open dialogue. At a conference to promote open dialogue, she calls for global censorship of speech. We have to have a global effort to crack down on all anti-vax social media posts. Clinton was asked to respond to a query about vaccine hesitancy. And what can be done to encourage a wider vaccine adoption? She started opining, as Zero Hedge puts it, about limiting freedom of speech and cracking down on social media posts, but she didn't touch the issue of access and the ongoing debate about waiving intellectual property protections for the COVID-19 vaccines. That, by the way, as I said before, is the very thing that is saving Africa right now. The fact that these people, as evil as they are, they want you to pay for your poison. I'm not going to give you the poison for free. As a matter of fact, if they were to show us the recipe, if they were to make that open source, you know, because we've got a pandemic and everybody's dying and we've never had a pandemic like this before. We had to lock down the entire world. So can't you please forego some of your profits? Oh, no, said Bill Gates. Can't do that. The guy who became a multi-billionaire, who became the richest man on the earth, by stealing intellectual property rights, first from Digital Research, then from Apple Computer, then beating the rap on an antitrust suit from the U.S. government and becoming essentially an informant for them, a rat for them in the process. No, we can't get rid of our profits, says the philanthropist Bill Gates. You must pay for your poison. Anyway, so they avoided that issue. But she says, this is what the scientist, the journalist, or what is she exactly? What is Chelsea Clinton? Oh, she is the trust fund child of the Clinton Foundation. That's her qualification. That massive stockpile of dirty money put together by Bill and Hillary, she is the heir of that. And so she gets a place at the table at the Vatican. Talk about global censorship. She says, there has to be more intensive and intentional and coordinated global regulation of speech on social media platforms. We know that the most popular video across all of Latin America for the last few weeks that now has tens of millions of views is just an anti-vax, anti-science screed that YouTube has refused to take down. Now, I can't believe that's the case. Now, YouTube is hardcore on this narrative. They're constantly pushing anybody and anything to challenge somebody who is even hesitant about vaccines. And they ruthlessly censored anything that I would put up. Is it just me? Is it just my content, or is it all vaccine? It's all vaccine content. I don't believe that for a minute. Maybe they just aren't paying attention to things written that are not in English or that are not in North America. But she said, anti-vaccine content created in the U.S. flourishes around the world because YouTube and Facebook leave it up there. Well, that's an absolute verifiable lie. It's not just me. Facebook and YouTube took down LifeSite News, for example. Why? Because of the vaccine issue. Specifically because of the vaccine issue. Clinton said the Clinton Foundation has been doing what it can to convince the vaccine hesitant and the vaccine refusers to accept doses of the vaccines. She believes it's important to differentiate between people who are hesitant and those who are in the refusal group. What have you done, Chelsea, to help people with a treatment for this for the last 424 days? Zero. Nothing. You haven't helped people with the, you just told everybody, lock down and wait for the vaccine, and you will take the vaccine, and you will shut up about any concerns about that, and if you air any concerns, we will shut you up. You haven't done a thing to help anybody, except yourself. The hesitant, she said, have questions that you can answer, for example, regarding the speed at which the vaccines are developed or their ingredients. So they can explain that away. How do you explain away warp speed? Are you going to compliment Trump for his betrayal of the American people, of the world? Because we became the incubator for this toxic poison that is killing everybody. You know, Trump funded it, tens of billions of dollars. Never given that kind of money to big pharmaceutical companies. As a matter of fact, it's a lot more money than the Gates Foundation or the Clinton Foundation gave to any of these pharmaceutical companies or their vaccine agendas. Trump gave more of your money to them, than any of these big tech, big pharma billionaires did. And we developed this stuff, paid for it here in the U.S., even the AstraZeneca vaccine that we're not using in the U.S. We helped fund a big portion of that as well. The American taxpayer, because of Donald Trump, is funding this program of global depopulation and control. Joe Rogan recently forced to apologize. Yeah, others have been deplatformed, as I pointed out, Facebook to PayPal. But, you know, not Rogan. He's still there because he apologized. If Clinton wants to start by being more specific about what constitutes being anti-vaccine, that says Zero Hedge, for example, would the Norwegian health officials be anti-vaccine because they recommended rejecting both the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson jabs over safety vaccine, safety concerns? Does that make them anti-vax? Well, yeah, I guess so. I guess the Norwegian health officials should be deplatformed as well. How about other European public health officials who came to similar conclusions? And it's not just that. You have the Biden administration. There's two other initiatives besides, you know, what Chelsea and the Pope are talking about in terms of we need to have global control of all this. Well, they're working on it. They've got two different initiatives. Biden administration has jumped into the Christ Church call for action to eliminate terrorists and violent extremist content online. This will dovetail nicely into the ARPA program that began again under Trump, but it will escalate under Biden. This is the health version of DARPA. Well, they need to help you with your health. But you know what the most urgent health issue facing us today? As Fauci and a lot of these doctors have said, you know, shootings are a major health concern. It's a pandemic, they said. And so we need to be able to use HARPA to monitor everything that you do to come up with a pre-crime intervention for people who might be too conservative for your own good. They might have a little bit too much to think. And we need to shut them down because they could become, at some point in the future, violent. And they already have what we consider to be extremist content. The Biden administration's actions are disturbing at best, says the Vice President of Free Speech America. We recently found out the Postal Service is monitoring what we say online, and the administration is trying to hire contractors to do even more domestic spying. Now they will have the power of this phony non-treaty that they're doing with, it's all centered around this mosque attack that happened in Christchurch. So they'll have this phony pseudo-treaty to pretend that their actions have legitimacy. The Christchurch Agreement Action Plan outlines government commitments, including considering, quote, appropriate action to prevent online content that is extremist. Again, pre-speech crime intervention. You might be about to say something that we think would not be nice, and so we're going to shut that down. Oh, and we might do more about that as well. We might just haul you off for indefinite detention by the military, because the military is rolling out Operation Warp Speed. They're rolling out the vaccines. They're even putting the jabs in people's arms. So why wouldn't they be involved in indefinite detention of dissidents in America? Banning users for claimed risk of inciting violence. You know, we have what is happening in Canada. You know, we've just had, we talk about that. Ban you if they claim that you're inciting violence. You know what they just did to arrest and jail these two pastors in Canada? What did they accuse them of? Inciting dangerous activity. They define dangerous activity as meeting in a church with too many people and not wearing masks and singing. And so they charge these pastors with inciting dangerous activity. You see, dangerous, extremist, violent, health-threatening activity can be just going to church. And because we had a shooting at a mosque in New Zealand, we have to globally establish something that could preemptively stop you from doing a dangerous activity like going to church when Fauci says don't go to church. So Trudeau is marking the opponents of internet censorship as people who wear tinfoil hats. Well, okay, maybe that's something we might want to consider with 5G around. No, actually, we call them Faraday hats, but you'd have to have it, I guess, completely cover your head. Hey, you could call it a mask, right? You could call it a Fauci mask. I think we should do that. Instead of having Faraday face masks, we'd have Fauci masks. And they tell people, I'm sorry you can't come in the restaurant, walk 5 feet to get to your table because you're not wearing your Fauci. That's what we should call it. Yeah, I see you got you. Nobody allowed in the premises here according to my dictates and this public accommodations. I'm not going to make any public accommodations to anybody who's not wearing their Fauci. So put your Fauci on. Trudeau was asked by a Conservative Party member, Michael Barrett. He said, is this bill, C-10, an attempt to silence Canadians online? He says, will the Prime Minister tell us how long it'll be before every aspect of Canadian life must conform to his liberal vision of Canadian society? Well, actually, it's an illiberal vision. Trudeau said, the tinfoil hats on the other side of the aisle are really quite spectacular. But what they're talking about is the fact that they are going to, with Bill C-10, they are going to use the regulatory agency that has been regulating TV and radio. They're going to use that to come after individuals on social media. So yeah, it is censorship. No doubt about it. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. and the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com. And we can't cut loose without that juice, right? I mean, we're back. It's deja vu all over again for me. Are they going to start having tags, odd and even days on the East Coast as we look at this pipeline situation? Of course, that was Tower Power going back to the 1970s. And I've shown these before, these two magazines here. Newsweek, the energy crisis. And they pointed out here, I've got it marked. This is from 1979. Why we must act now. You see these charts right there? They're telling you that by the mid-1980s, we were going to be out of all oil. And that was the date that they said we had in 1979. They said we have 8.7 years left of crude oil. We have 10.7 years left of natural gas. But they had 666 years, 666, left of coal. So coal, I guess, was kind of demonic. Had to stop that. But these are the people that we're now relying on for information. Newsweek. Oh, of course, there's also Time. Time. Precious drivers, anxious drivers, rather. Rebellious truckers, insatiable OPEC, because this is what we all experience. Kind of going along with the stagflation. Yeah, isn't it interesting how history doesn't exactly repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And so now we've got more than 1,000 gas stations that are out of fuel. In the Southeast, they're running out of fuel. Panic buying. People coming in and stocking up big time, just like the toilet paper craze of a year ago. Large part of the pipeline resumed operations, says Fox. Manually, late on Monday, Colonial anticipates restarting most of its operations by the end of the week. There's something else going on here, by the way, but let me just tell you where, what this is looking like at the moment. I'll kind of lay this out for you, and then we'll get into something else that may be beneath this, and a tip from a listener. Appreciate that. We know that we have gasoline. We just got to get it to the right places. See, they're not telling you that they're going to run out of gasoline in 8 days or 8 years, but we just got to be able to get around. In Virginia, 7.7% of the state's nearly 3,900 gas stations reported running out of fuel yesterday, according to Gas Buddy. In North Carolina, 8.5% of about 5,400 stations were sold out. People are waiting up to 5 hours to fill up amid gas shortages reported in some areas. The line in Carrboro, North Carolina, ran out of the gas station's parking lot, said one Twitter user. As a matter of fact, Karen was talking to her brother in North Carolina yesterday, and he was at Costco. They had gas there, and it's like, man, this just is not moving. He started to get out, and everybody's honking the horn at him, and Karen said, it sounds like he's in New York. They're from New York. They're honking the horns and yelling and screaming and cursing at him just because he's trying to get out of line. Yeah, long lines at Costco in North Atlanta and other filling stations, almost out of gasoline. People are panic hoarding the fuel with gas cans. Because this pipeline, as I pointed out yesterday, 45% of all the East Coast's fuel supply. And it was hacked 5 days ago. And it is even affecting air travel. Atlanta's airport, they're having to do extra stops in order to fuel up, says the airline. American Automobile Association, AAA, is predicting that gas prices will surge as a result of the shutdown after the average price jumped 6 cents to $2.98. Yeah, I'm getting tired of all the surging, aren't you? I'm really tired of this whole agenda of busting our supply chains and everything. And that's not exactly what is happening here, but we'll talk about what is really behind it. The governor of Virginia, Governor Kuhneman Northam, declared a state of emergency. And so did the Democrat governor in North Carolina. But you know what the governor in Georgia is doing, Brian Kemp? He actually did something to help people. Didn't just do it. It's an emergency, and I'm in charge here. And I can do whatever I want now because I just used the magic incantation. Abracadabra, state of emergency. I'm in charge. Martial law. No. In Georgia, the governor, Kemp, suspended state taxes on gas, on motor fuels, through Saturday. And that amounts to 28.7 cents per gallon of gas, and on diesel, 32 cents per gallon. Did something to actually help people, other than just holding a press conference and declaring a state of emergency. And again, he said, you don't need to go out and fill up every 5 gallon gas can that you've got. In Florida, drivers in some areas are facing long lines, and 3% of the gas stations had run out. There was a line nearly a mile long at a pump in Costco in Tallahassee, Florida. Nevertheless, the mainstream media, like New York Times, claims that there's no long lines for gas. But it just isn't happening. You know, just it doesn't matter what you see. You know, there's a pandemic. All the hospitals are filled up, and they say, "Oh, there's nobody. Look at that. It's empty." Oh no, it's a pandemic, and you know, look at the 2,500 beds in Central Park that are not being used. Look at the hospital emergency ships not being used, and so oh no, it's a pandemic. We got people, you know, spilling out of the hospitals. And everybody believes them. And then when they say there's no long lines, don't believe the people who were in the lines, who are taking pictures, who are posting videos and photos. And I guess if this was like the vaccine, you would have Twitter and YouTube pulling down all of those things to support the idea that there are no long lines because we don't want Biden to look bad, right? And this is the way this is already being politicized. You know, this never happened under Trump. This is a Biden problem, say the conservatives. Nolte, senior editor at Breitbart. Boy, he just goes on a partisan screed about Biden. Why isn't the FBI and CIA just foul-mouthed swearing about this? Why aren't they protecting me? That's their job. It sounds like a liberal. So, you know, just like the VAERS News, you only want to panic people when it's a pandemic, I guess. Mainstream media usually is tamping stuff down like they're doing right now. There's no problem. See, the government's under control. When you look at the gas outages state by state, it appears to be very much into the southeast. That means from Virginia and Tennessee down to Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia. That seems to be where it's concentrated. Here's a breakdown from Gas Buddy. In Virginia, Gas Buddy, these are all Gas Buddy figures. 7.6% of the gas stations out of fuel in Virginia. In North Carolina, 7.6%. Well, the other one already said it was over 8.5%, right? Georgia, 5.2%. Florida, 2.7%. South Carolina, 2.9%. Alabama, 0.5%. Tennessee, 0.1% out of fuel. But I got this from Vince Agnelli. He's in Virginia. He said, well, I checked Gas Buddy. He said this to me before I saw this article, by the way. And it shows all the stations in our area that have gas. He says, I know that's wrong. Because he went there. He says, I think people are going to be running out of gas in a day or so. And he said, just went down to get some off-road diesel for the tractor. They're out. My local station has no unleaded or of any grade, no unleaded, non-ethanol, no off-road diesel, no kerosene. They still have some regular diesel left. I can use that in the short term, but wow, gone. And again, American Airlines is having to add stops on long-haul routes due to lack of fuel in those particular areas. They have to fly it to another area, get some more fuel to continue the journey. So Politico runs to the rescue of Biden because this is all about making Biden look good or making Biden look bad, depending on which side of the political divide your media organization is on. So Politico says Biden is racing to get ahead of the gasoline crunch. But he can't get out of the pit stop. Waivers of some environmental and labor rules. And the industry estimates that about 8% of gas stations in Virginia and North Carolina are out of gas. Wholesale diesel prices in the New York Harbor Trading Hub were also rising. Two leading House Transportation Committee Republicans, ranking member Sam Graves of Missouri, Representative Rick Crawford of Arkansas, said the attack underscored the need to build new pipeline projects, such as the long-stalled Mountain Valley and the Atlantic Coast natural gas pipelines. They also pointed to Biden's quick decision to kill the Keystone XL pipeline. By the way, folks, you're talking about a natural gas pipeline. What happens if you get a leak in a gas pipeline? Does it destroy the environment? Go, that doesn't spill out on the ground. I mean, that's not. I don't know why they're even concerned about that, except they just don't want us to have any energy. But that was my first comment when I saw this happen over the weekend. I said, well, okay, so the hackers, they say, shut down this pipeline. But, you know, Joe Biden shut down the Keystone pipeline on his very first day. He's going to do more to harm our energy costs, our energy independence. And, of course, the cost of fuel is something that is tied not only to your quality of life and to your economy. It's also actually even tied to your life expectancy. Well, maybe that's why they want to take it up. You can see that over... different countries. We cannot continue to limit our pipeline capacity, as with the case with the Keystone XL pipeline, or these other types of incidents will only pose more severe consequences in the future. The Department of Energy, says another Republican, is responsible for responding to this attack, yet the administration still has not put forward a nominee to lead CESER, its cybersecurity office. And then, you know, what about CISA, right? The people that were supposed to protect us from election hacking, from pipeline hacking and all this other stuff? No, no, no. Its whole purpose was to make sure that it protected corporations who are going to be stool pigeons and informants for them from being sued by you. That's the purpose of CISPA. They took out the P and got it passed as CISA. In Port Arthur, Texas, a company called Total, SE, that's the name of the company, Total SE, has reduced gasoline production at its 250,000 barrels per day refinery because the Colonial Pipeline has been shut down. See, this is the way these supply issues snowball. But then the curious reaction at Breitbart, again, one of the senior editors there, Nolte, gas lines return as the woke deep state fails to stop cyber attacks, just like Ben Shapiro. Biden's to blame for the Israeli-Palestinian thing. It's like, that's been going on for thousands of years, pal. But nevertheless. And he starts out saying, the GD FBI, the GD CIA have one GD job, and that's to protect our way of life, period. This is the editor of Breitbart. The issue is, if you're going to be a writer, especially if you're going to be an editor, maybe you ought to develop a sufficient vocabulary. One of the times, and I, like I said, I always hate being in Las Vegas. Had to go there for business type stuff. One day, we're there for a convention. My wife and I went to hear Penn & Teller. It's always thought they were funny. They are funny. Magicians, comedians. One of them does all the talking, Penn. And about halfway through the program, he gets up and he says, you know, I'm so sick of these people using F this and F that everywhere, right? He goes, get a vocabulary. You just sound stupid. Use it as a noun. Use it as a verb. Use it as an adverb, and on and on. He goes, develop your vocabulary. It's absolutely ridiculous to see writers resorting to this. If your comments are not strong enough, get out a thesaurus or something, right? Oh, but it makes them look authentic. And so, yeah, Penn & Teller went on, went on to say, so I tell everybody, don't do that. Don't use the F word. He goes, instead, I like to use Jesus Christ's name because I like to blaspheme. I mean, literally, you know, I really hate religion. I hate Christianity especially. And so I go out of my way to blaspheme. At which point, we just got up and left. And it was a big deal because we were in like a circular thing where there's a table where there were meals being served as part of that. We just got up and left, made everybody at the table get up so we could walk out. That's disgusting. That's as disgusting, even more so disgusting, than this kind of knuckle-dragging writing from Nolte at Breitbart. So listen to what he says. He says, the FBI, I'll just take out his swear words. The FBI, the CIA have one job, and that's to protect our way of life, period. If you think that's what the FBI and the CIA are about, why would I ever go to your website again except to get the Republican side of news? Unbelievably naive to think that the FBI and the CIA are there to protect our way of life, to keep us safe. It's about continuity of government. They are the government, Nolte. Wake up. Good grief. They're there to protect the government and the deep state. They are the government, the dark state. He said they should be focused almost exclusively on ensuring that the energy that keeps our way of life alive is not interrupted. You may have noticed their involvement in pushing the Paris Climate Accord, right? Maybe you noticed that, right? Maybe you might should have called out Mitch McConnell and said, hey, Mitch, you got Obama and Kerry saying they're going to self-ratify this pseudo-treaty, the climate change treaty. It's a treaty. They can't self-ratify a treaty. You're the leader of the Senate. You've got a Republican majority. Why don't you hold a vote and shut this thing down permanently? They didn't do it throughout the Obama administration. They didn't do it throughout the entire 4 years of Trump. Didn't do it. I had Steve Malloy come on and after, you know, Trump lost the election. He said, look, before he leaves office, he needs to really put pressure on me. He was just too focused on himself, too focused on raising a quarter of a, you know, $250 million to fight the election. He only spent $8 million on fighting the election results. He wasn't going to do anything to fight Paris Climate Accord. He didn't do anything his entire administration to fight it. He nominally said, we're going to shut it down. And then he's later on, as he was pressured by some other people, he said, all right, we'll say that we're going to formally pull out of it, but I'll do that the day after the election. Just misdirection. Anyway, he says, so going back to Nolte at Breitbart, he said, once again, these feckless deep staters have failed. These useless idiots have been focused on using the correct pronouns. That's exactly what they're about. The CIA is about overthrowing our society and our culture. The CIA is about overthrowing our government. It's about being the government. And they're looking out for their interest, and they're doing a really good job of it, Nolte, and you're not calling them out on it. It's not about protecting the price of gasoline at the pump. They've never been about that. The CIA were the people who were pushing that we had peak oil, that we're going to be running out. This is all being fed, all this stuff that I showed you from Time Magazine and Newsweek. This is being pushed out by, it was given to them by the CIA. They were the ones pushing, oh, there's no more oil in the ground. Sooner or later, there won't be none around. Now, I'm not saying Tower of Power was working for the CIA, but they were reading Time Magazine and Newsweek who were working for the CIA. The very last thing, says Nick Nolte, that the institution charged protecting our way of life should be worried about is any of this racist and divisive social justice garbage. Yeah, there you go. Well, meanwhile, they're using this to try to increase tensions with Russia. And that's one of the things I talked about yesterday in the interview that I had with Gotree. And you should see that interview. Because the reality is that it's not Russia. As he pointed out, he says, well, yeah, they have this particular group that they've identified. So they're not going to hack anybody that is Russian-speaking or Ukrainian. They have this regional area there, you know, anything that people who use the Cyrillic language or the Ukrainian or Russian, we're not going to come after them. They're in the Russian area. But he says, if you look at it, he said, there's more than 90 different hacks, ransomware hacks that they've done. And it's almost all small businesses. So the interesting thing about this is how atypical this is. It's typically coming after small businesses. But in this particular one, they came after a very, very large business. But Russia has nothing to do with these hacker attacks and had nothing to do with the previous hacker attacks, says a spokesman for Putin. Meanwhile, Biden says, I'm going to be meeting with President Putin. They have some responsibility to deal with this. The FBI, in a two-sentence statement on Monday, confirmed the most recent attack was carried out by a group known as DarkSide, believed to be in Eastern Europe. So in a sense, Breitbart is feeding a narrative that could lead us into war, because the Obama administration has already said, well, if we blame somebody for a cyber attack, that's the same as if they dropped a bomb on our pipeline. So we need to be very careful with this. But you have people like Senator Angus King from Maine, an independent, who says, the sad truth is cyber is cheap. Putin can hire 8,000 hackers for the price of one jet airplane. What's he talking about there? Making an allusion to the fantasy conspiracy theory about 9/11, that two planes took down three buildings, caused them to collapse in their footprint. You know, we're looking at these pictures. A lot of people got very upset. I think it was in Gaza. A bombing campaign caused a building complex to collapse. Did you see how it collapsed? It kind of crumbled and fell over to the side. It didn't fall into its footprint in free fall like that. That only happens when something else is done. And we had three buildings that happened with, and only two of them were hit with a plane. But nevertheless, you got Angus King who's saying, oh, that's the Russians doing this, right? Because we need a war. So he says, so what they're doing, they're going to keep doing it now, and we got to quit being a cheap date. Let me tell you, these politicians are a cheap date for everybody. It doesn't take much. You get a pretty good return on your investment with politicians. There's no better return on your investment than buying a politician. No better return. I've talked about this over and over again. One program after the other. You get several thousand percent return on your investment with a politician. That's a good deal. So if you can afford one, you and I can't afford one any more than I can afford a $3 million hypercar. But they're a lot cheaper than a hypercar. Real cheap. Anyway. So we can start responding, says King. We got to start imposing costs. And actually, the Biden administration about a month ago did impose some serious sanctions on Russia for the SolarWinds attack last year. That was not Russia. That was a... why did the FBI then go in and question all these people, right? The bottom line was that they had a back door that was available to everybody. That was an inside job. That was not Russia. He says, we got to up this game, said King. Well, you know, as GoatTree pointed out yesterday, over 90 small businesses attacked by these people. Now you've got another 24 companies hacked. They say it's a Russian group. This is a different Russian group that they're saying. But at least two dozen unnamed companies were also affected. For most of the part, they go after the small companies because they usually don't have much in terms of IT protection. But this was sent to me by Vicky. I won't mention her last name. And I appreciate this. This is a good article from about April the 16th, middle of April, about a month ago. And her comment was, is the hacked pipeline company, quote-unquote hacked, they're currently under investigation for what is the worst pipeline spill in U.S. history. Are they creating an artificial shortage for leverage for that investigation? Yeah, in other words, shut down the oil. And then say, like George W. Bush, you miss me yet? You really want to take down our country? Do you see how painful it take down our company? You see how painful it is if you take us out? I think she hit the nail on the head. Going back to April the 16th, feds warn Colonial Pipeline is at risk. The leak is deeper than reported. Now, this is before this all happened, of course, right? This happened 5 days ago. But this is 30 days ago. New mapping shows gasoline contamination from a spill on the Colonial Pipeline north of Charlotte last summer goes deeper into the soil than previously reported. That news comes as federal officials warn that similar leaks could happen elsewhere along the 5,500-mile pipeline from Texas to New Jersey. At least 1.2 million gallons of gasoline spilled last August from a broken section of the pipeline east of downtown Huntersville. The leak was discovered by two teens who are riding all-terrain vehicles in a nature preserve. It is the largest spill of its kind in North Carolina and one of the largest in the nation. Colonial has blamed the spill on a crack and a previous repair in the pipe wall. Federal regulators said the problem is of the same type of repair known as a Type A sleeve. That type of repair is found all along the pipeline, and it has failed repeatedly. The Federal Department of Transportation Pipeline Safety Division recently issued a proposed order that would require Colonial to list all similar repairs and improve its leak detection systems. DOT's Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration said our ongoing investigation indicates that conditions may exist on the Colonial Pipeline system that pose a pipeline integrity risk to public safety, to property, or the environment. Colonial's inability to effectively detect and respond to this release, as well as other past releases, has potentially exacerbated the impacts of this and numerous other failures over the operational history of Colonial's entire system. It appears the continued operation of the Colonial Pipeline system without corrective measures would pose a pipeline integrity risk to public safety, property, or the environment. The proposal is dated March the 29th and says Colonial has 30 days to formally respond. So, 30 days from March 29th, April 29th, on or about, what was it, May 5th or 6th? What was it, 7th? Let's see, it would have been the 8th, I think, 8th. That was on a Saturday. So, you know, 8 days later, this happens. And as I said, it's deeper than they thought. They did 3D mapping using ultraviolet light and subsurface probes. Shows the gas has seeped deeper into the soil in some areas than previously known. Well, we were hacked. Remember yesterday when I was talking to Goatree, he said, well, I saw this thing, and they said, the dark side people said, we work with our partners. And he goes, partners? He said, well, that popped out at me. Partners? They got somebody on the inside there at Colonial? Maybe they do. I don't know. But this certainly is a coincidence, isn't it? Coincidence, isn't it? I said, well, you know, the official story from the FBI is that they're partnering with different organizations. They're supplying them with the software. But, you know, as Goatree pointed out, it's not really complicated stuff. And if you haven't seen that interview, here's the deal. They're going after small businesses increasingly. And individuals. And so, as he pointed out, there's some software you can use to compartmentalize your email and gateways where stuff is going to come in. And then if you get infected with something, because he has to do this type of stuff all the time, he works in cybersecurity, it's recommended, as he pointed out, by Ed Snowden, if something comes in and affects your computer, you just shut down that cell and you recreate it. So you've got to wind up, you got to go through some extra steps of getting the software. Take a look at the interview. He describes it better than I do. But you have to get the software. You have to partition the stuff yourself. You have to engage in backups. Okay. But other than that, it's not really that complicated to protect yourself against ransomware. We don't need to go to war with Russia over this. But we do need to come to the end of our program. We'll be continuing this on live radio and KHNC. You can find them on the web. The actual website is 1360KHNC. So we'll be doing an hour of radio coming up in the next hour. Actually, the program starts after their news break, so it starts 5 after the hour at KHNC. So join me there. Folks, go to thedavidknightshow.com. That's where you'll find the links to where all the programs are, where the podcasts are. And by the way, I hope it's not confusing, but I've been putting up the they have a podcast archive there, but I think it's just like one day. I haven't really looked at it closely on the KHNC site. But I've put up the radio show, as well as a podcast on all of our podcast platforms each day. So each day now I'm putting up two things. I hope it's not confusing. But, you know, you have a choice. You can listen to one or both of the podcast or the radio show. And you can also at thedavidknightshow.com, you can find where to find our shows. Again, things like the interview, things like some of these particular topics, I cut those out, but also have the full show up with time code, the topics by time code. So you can find that, the links to it on video, the long-term archives. Trovo and DLive are where we are live, but of course they only keep that up for 3 days and they take it down. So you want to look at the video sites if you want to go back and find something. And then, of course, how you can support us. PayPal, Subscribestar, Venmo, Bitcoin, and Cash App are all there, as well as a P.O. box. We really do appreciate and need your support. And I'll just say very quickly, Scout is doing much worse. We hoped that we would get him yesterday, but they're going to be keeping him for another several days. So please keep him in your prayers. That's our dog. We've talked about that before. Thank you so much.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing.
and the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.